Next item we're going to call is agenda item number 10. Agenda item 10 involves 8 different neighborhoods, and we need to provide an opportunity for one of our colleagues and commissioners who owns property in one of those neighborhoods to step aside. Before you do, we're also going to hold a hearing for each of these neighborhoods, discuss, and then likely continue them along with agenda item number 9. For agenda item number 10, we're first going to take up the Oaks neighborhood, action items 8, 9, and 10, and allow for one commissioner to share thoughts on recusal.
Hi, this is Renee Dake Wilson. I'm going to recuse myself on the conversation regarding the Oaks neighborhood because I live in the Oaks. Thanks.
So Renee is going to get a salad break, and we're going to pause while staff prepares to present on CPC 2016-2115ZC, also known as the Oaks. Okay, she has left the building. Good afternoon. Specific to this part of the neighborhood list, how long will you need to present, sir?
Good afternoon. My understanding is that staff has prepared a presentation that is about 8 minutes long.
With regards to the Oaks?
No, the Oaks, probably about 5 minutes.
Okay. So again, we're going to hear the Oaks, correct? Am I correct? Thank you.
So let me click over to the Oaks.
And then just as she gets set up to let the kind of folks in the audience know, then we're going to have the Commissioner Dake Wilson rejoin us, and we're going to hear the rest of the neighborhoods. Okay?
Christine Saponera, Community Planning Bureau. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Case number CPC 2016-2115 was initiated by the city to amend the existing delimitation within the Oaks of Los Feliz. The delimitation for the Oaks is considered the preliminary hillside ordinance, approved in 2010 before the baseline hillside ordinance existed. Once the BHO was approved, the following definition for basement was included. A basement, whether it is habitable or not, when the elevation of the upper surface of the floor or roof above the basement does not exceed 3 feet in height at any point above the finish or natural grade, whichever is lower, for at least 60% of the perimeter length of the exterior basement walls. Basements were exempted as they were intended to be inconspicuous. However, the mountainous terrain of the Oaks have rendered these structures to be just as prominent or even more so than the habitable residential floor area. The ICO for this community requested that all basements no longer be exempt and counted towards the residential floor area. So before we discuss, I'd like you to give you a quick description of the existing character and the issues of the Oaks. The existing character consists of mixed 1- and 2-story structures with walkout basements, attached garages located in the front, and varying lot sizes. The issues here were large walkout basements and lot coverage for homes on large lots. So the Oaks for the proposed ordinance includes 2 major changes. The first was the calculation of above ground basements. This is a compromise between the ICO and the BHO, including only portions of the basements that are visible and above ground. The second change was for lot coverage equalizer. The band is so wide that it is punitive for those at the beginning of the spectrum. For example, if you have a lot that is 4,000 square feet, you'd be permitted a lot coverage of 1,200 square feet, while at 3,999, just 1 square foot less, you would have a lot coverage of 1,400. Adding this equalizer allows people to add on to their house on the first story instead of building up, thereby improving mass and bulk and preserving neighborhood characteristics. Thank you for listening. That is all for the Oaks today.
Thank you. Anything else to add? All right. Appreciate that. Let me stop this. And moving right along here. At this time, I'm going to open up for anyone who's filled out a speaker cards who wants to speak specifically to the Oaks. I have a couple of cards. I'm going to ask you to come up and state your name. Excuse me. And you'll have a minute to address the commission. I'm going to go with William. Starts with an F. Come on up. And also Brad Jewett again. Diane Eisel. Robert Eisel. and Phyllis Messina. Did you guys want to speak to the Oaks?
We did not, and I'm speaking for all of us.
Okay.
We're all here to speak about La Brea Hancock when
okay.
the time comes for that.
All right. Well, we'll make sure you get that opportunity. Is there William here who wanted to speak on the Oaks? Okay. Is there anyone here who wants to speak with regards to this item, specifically the Oaks? So did you gentlemen fill out speaker cards?
I did.
Okay. What's your name, sir?
Jeffrey Miller.
Okay. We'll handle that. Miller?
Miller.
Wonderful. And, sir, we'll have you up in just a second behind you. So, Mr. Miller, I'm going to put a minute on the clock specifically to the Oaks, if you would, and go right ahead.
I just had one comment. Based upon the public hearing and what Christine Saponara just said, the obvious intent of the lot coverage is that you get no less than what's listed as the maximum. But based upon the last version of the ordinance that I saw, I think it's unclear, and I think it should be clarified that that's the intent.
I think I'm going to go to staff when it's time to respond to that, sir. Anything else you want to share?
That's it.
Okay. You'll hear something when we get to that point, sir. And, sir, come on up and share your name, and I will totally own that I had both speaker cards. Go right ahead.
Hi there. I'm Jerry Hans. I'm on the Oaks Homeowners Board and a past president from a previous decade. We submitted formal letters. You should all have copies there. For the revision of our delimitation, our expectation was to roll over our existing protections into the new one. Collectively, these protections have origins dating back to 2006 and are largely supported by our residents. The outstanding problem is in the language for the basement provision. Currently, our ICO counts all basement square footage towards RFA. The proposed suggests that only portions above the ground count. It's the Oaks homeowners' view that in keeping with our existing protections, we are not really willing to consider this new concept of portions counting. The language is vague on how the calculation will even be done. No methodology is really spelled out. Even if the language were clear.
We have your letter, and I apologize, but that's the minute. And staff has your letter, so I'm sure we're going to hear their response to what you included in there. At this time, I have no other speaker cards. I have no council cards. I'm closing public hearing and open up the conversation to commission deliberations. But first, we're going to hear from staff and hear any responses to those, the first speaker, and then also the letter from the Oaks Homeowners Association.
Sure. Thank you. So for lot coverage, if you look at the ordinance, which is attachment, I think, number Exhibit J.
Yes.
It gives you a broad band, so to speak. It says 4,000 square feet, for example, for the first one, and does not give a maximum because it's 4,000 square feet times the 35%. So we calculated that 35% times 4,000 and came up with our first maximum, and we add that first maximum to the second. So you have here 4,000 to 12,000, you're allowed to do 30% or the maximum of the previous. So, and that's what we did for the third one as well. So it's trying to give you at least what the previous band had. And those previous bands had lesser square footage. So it's trying to provide an equalizer. With regards to the portions, counting portions of the basement, that is something that is new to the city. We have not done something where we just count portions of a floor. With regards to basements, the way that it's defined is that you can have a portion be above ground for a certain height of 3 feet, and 60% of its perimeter can be out of the ground or visible. So what we try to do is count that portion, and there's several ways that building and safety can do that. They can either calculate the percentage that is above ground. So if that is a maximum of 60% and somebody fully maximized, they can do the 60% calculation of that basement. The other way of calculating is drawing a line from the first point of exit from the ground and this last point, and basically calculating that area, even though it might be air space and not floor area. So that's something that you can consider today if you'd like to continue on with the compromise that includes the portion counting of the basement, or going back to what the ICO says, which says all basements, regardless of whether they're completely underground and not visible, or above ground, using the definition to be counted.
What's your recommendation?
I think we've here, when I went out to the community, people seemed pleased with the compromise in that, you did have some ability to build a basement, especially in what communities, not every property has a terrain that is very, very sloped. So in that situation where you have a less sloped property, this basement, counting portions of it helps you. In properties where they have a very massive slope, yes, it does, you do see a major portion. For example, one wall could be completely shown and you would see the entire mass of that wall. So technically you could see the entire basement even though it's just one wall. But that only happens when you do have a very high sloped property.
So it sounds like your recommendation is what we've already reviewed today.
Just one other thought to add and acknowledge, there is a great deal of complexity in what the city is attempting to regulate in terms of what counts as floor area and what does not. So I think the comment that it is complex is certainly, that note is taken. We've worked pretty deliberately with the Department of Building and Safety in terms of vetting the language and making sure that it is something that is implementable at the public counter. So we're thankful for that interaction and feel confident that the language that is in the ordinance is implementable.
So I'm going to kind of summarize that and saying staff stands by staff's recommendations in response to public comment, and you feel that although we hear them, that the recommendations you guys put forward are the best course of action.
And if you'd like, we can continue conversations with Building and Safety and really ensure that they are able to calculate that, and we can update you on the next meeting at November.
We'll see where we go with this. Let's see if I personally am inclined to go along with staff's recommendations and do just that. But let's hear where the commission is at this point. If there's any questions, Mr. Perlman, Mr. Katz, Mr. Mack. Okay. In that case, please bear with me. This is David Ambrose. I'm moving that we approve and recommend that the City Council adopt the Zone Change Ordinance for CPC 2016-2115-ZC, known as the Oaks. Approve and recommend that the City Council adopt the negative declaration and adopt the findings for CPC 2016-2115-ZC. Do I have a second?
Samantha Millman, second.
James, we have a first and second. Will you please call for the vote?
Certainly. Commissioner Ambrose?
Yes.
Commissioner Millman?
Yes.
Commissioner Katz?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Perl?
Yes.
Sorry. Commissioner Perlman?
Yes.
The motion carries.
And for the record, Samey Brothers, the environmental case number is ENV-2016-88.
No.
Pardon me. Would you please put it on
the negative declaration that we are inclined to adopt is the number is ENV-2016-2111-ND.
Do I need to motion that, Amy, or is that inclusive? That's what I was referring to.
I think that's okay for the record.
Okay. That's what I was referring to. My motion, Samantha, that was your understanding as well? Yes? Okay. All right. Can we please invite Commissioner Dake Wilson to rejoin us? And let's continue on with item number 10. We are welcoming Renee back, and we're going to take up action items 1-7 with the additional neighborhoods aside from the Oaks. Let's give her a chance to come back. And Steph, how long will you need to present on the balance of these?
About 10 minutes.
And I'm forecasting or foreshadowing that I believe we're going to continue the adoption of these until the subsequent meeting. So if folks just want to let you know so you're not surprised. Welcome back. Renee Dick Wilson is with us. And why don't you go ahead and present?
Good afternoon again. I'll be taking you through the proposed implementation of the new R1 variation zones and a rear detached garage supplemental use district within 7 communities today. My full project includes 14 communities. However, for the sake of time, we'll be covering 7 today and the remaining 7 on November 10th, 2016. Case number CPC 2016-2112-ZC was initiated by the city to rezone properties zoned R1-1 to primarily R1-R2-RG as well as R1-V2-RG in specific instances where the primary zone was not appropriate. This is part one of the case, and it includes the following seven communities: Faircrest Heights, Wilshire Vista, Pickfair Village, Crestview, South Hollywood, La Brea Hancock, and Larchmont Heights. I will go into detail regarding the proposed zoning during my presentation. The city initiated these zone changes in response to interim control ordinance numbers 183497 and 184381 to create more tailored specialized zoning for specific communities throughout the city. Before we delve into the specifics, I'd like to take a moment and explain more how we got here. In 2014 and 2015, 2 interim control ordinances were developed that encouraged the planning department to assess the state of several communities throughout the city with regards to the development of housing that was disproportionate and out of scale with the community. Staff decided that the best way to deal with this would be through the creation of new zones. The process of developing these new zones were interesting and exciting, to say the least. We held 23 community meetings, including 5 public hearings, all in the course of 3 months, throughout the city, and heard firsthand about the character-defining features of individual neighborhoods that made it feel like home. We also heard about the issues that were threatening the very fabric of these communities. Staff did an in-depth analysis of the character of each neighborhood, analyzing the current building form with regards to size, scale, massing, and character. As a result of our research and the community conversation, staff developed 16 new zones that Phyllis presented earlier today and made selections for each community. The new context-sensitive zones address varieties in housing size, scale, massing, and character. Here you have a list of the neighborhood conservation communities, along with a map of the city with the single-family parcels coded in yellow, green, and blue. The red box represents the area for which we have new zones. This is a close-up of that area. This map has also been included in the exhibits for easier viewing. In this presentation, I will discuss the proposed zone changes for 7 of the communities shown here. However, before I do that, I'd like to discuss how staff made the recommendation by explaining what neighborhood conservation is and how the new zones help facilitate the preservation of neighborhood conservation. Perhaps the number one question that I received at public meetings was the question, what is neighborhood conservation? Followed by the question, what size of home is too large? In order to explain that, I have to discuss the tenets of neighborhood conservation. This project is not necessarily focused on making houses smaller, but rather creating development standards that are consistent with the existing mass, scale, character, and proportion of the community. By doing this, we preserve the character of the community as well as allow for modest growth to accommodate current family needs. The first thing I'd like to discuss is mass. Mass is the perception of the general shape and form as well as the overall size of the building. Here you see 2 different massing options. The first picture shows the primary mass in the rear, while the second one shows the primary mass in the front. Through our research, we found that community members felt that massing of the structure was far more indicative of the character of the home and community than was size. This is why our zones are categorized by massing, as Phyllis discussed earlier today. The second tenet of neighborhood conservation is scale. Scale is the overall size of homes within a neighborhood. Scale, or sheer size, was previously thought to be the ultimate indicator of neighborhood character. However, it is not. This is not the ultimate indicator of how a home is perceived, as scale is a relative thing. As you see here, there are different types of homes, and each with its own scale. The ultimate goal of neighborhood conservation is not about reducing the scale of homes, but more about finding the right scale to fit the neighborhood. Again, the new zones provide four different FAR options and a range of scale options that go from high to low. The third tenet of neighborhood conservation is character. Character is the external appearance of a neighborhood that plays a role in how that neighborhood is perceived. What we try to do with these neighborhood conservation communities is find character-defining features. The main character-defining feature that staff found was the instance of rear garage, often served by side yard driveways that provide a physical buffer to allow for circulation of light and air. The code amendment that Phil has discussed earlier includes a supplemental use district that preserves this development feature. Lastly, proportion. Proportion is the visual effect of the relationship of the various objects and space between structures. When analyzing the neighborhood character communities, we really try to understand the extent of the impact that new development had on existing homes. Oftentimes, new development, especially in communities with irregular lot sizes, was disproportionately large than existing. The new zones contain a gradient that helps that situation. As lots increase, FAR capacity decreases, thereby preserving the proportional size of new developments in area with varying lot sizes. So now the fun part, which new zone fits each community best? I really wish I had a drum roll because I would push that button right now. The communities selected today, thank you, perfect. The communities selected today will primarily be rezoned to the R1, R2, RG zone. Now, what is the R1, R2, RG zone? It is not the license plate of your new car. It's actually one of the new single-family zones with tailored development standards. In order to explain, I'd like to break it up into parts. Here in green, you see the R1R. This indicates that it is a single-family zone with a rear massing configuration. This configuration allows for maximum light and air circulation on the front of the property, as it requires a second floor to be set back at least 30 feet from the front setback. In red, you see the number 2. This indicates the selection of the moderate FAR scale that starts at 0.45 FAR for lots less or equal to 6,000 square feet and 0.35 for lots larger than 10,000. And in the blue, you see the supplemental use district, RG, indicating the requirement to have a rear detached garage. This does not impede your right for an exemption of the garage. Some parcels, and this is a concern that one of the commissioners brought up earlier, some parcels had a shallow lot depth that ranged from 35 to 90 feet, which made it infeasible to require a setback on the second story. So we chose the R1 V2 RG zone. This zone is different than the previous in that it offers design flexibility with the building envelope. The second story can be located anywhere above the first. So now let's start looking at the rezoning neighborhood conservation areas. For ease and organization, I've grouped them by council district. The first council district is 10, which includes Faircrest, Wilshire, Pickfair, and Crestview. Faircrest Heights is the first with a predominant zoning of R1, R2-RG, with a small area shown in the red circle zoned R1 V2 RG. Those properties are more shallow and therefore we are not zoning them the R option so that they didn't have to do the setback. The existing character of Faircrest is predominantly single story Spanish style homes with a second story built in the rear, open front yard and a detached garage. Issues are out of scale, two story houses, large homes with minimal articulation and attached garages located in the front. Just to give you an idea of the existing FAR average, it's about 0.26 today in Faircrest, and the average lot size is from 7 to 8,000. And this community is within the ICO. The next community is Wilshire Vista, again with R1, R2, RG. The existing character, much like Faircrest, is the same, predominantly single-story homes, second-story additions, located in the rear, detached garages. New homes are looking out of scale and two-story, large homes with minimal articulations, and attached garage located in the front. FAR average for Wilshire Vista today is 0.25, and the average lot size is 7 to 8,000 square feet. Wilshire Vista is in the ICO. Pickfair Village is like Faircrest in that it has some shallow lots, so we're rezoning it to R1, R2, RG, and R1, V2, RG, where you find the circle area. This area has the same characteristics of the previous, and the FAR average is 0.26, average lot size 7 to 8,000 square feet. Pickfair is within the ICO area. Crestview, same as before, is predominantly single story, second story additions in the rear, and rear garages. When looking at the map of Crestview, this community is actually split between CD10 and CD5. This community is not an ICO community. However, when we're conducting our outreach, we found support for the zone change, so we added it into this project. The proximity and similarities of building scale, massing, and character led staff to recommend the R1, R2-RG here. FAR average for this area is 0.25, and average lot size 7 to 8,000 square feet. Now, Council District 4. We have South Hollywood with a primary zoning of R1, R2-RG. South Hollywood is a smaller community of single-family zoned properties that is surrounded by R2 and RD1.5 properties that also are primarily built with single-family homes. Homes within the bounded area have an average FAR of 0.27, with newer homes being at 0.6 FAR and existing homes being at 0.15 FAR. The R1, R2, RG is consistent with the existing character of the community and deals with the issues threatening neighborhood character. Average lot size is about 6,700. Larchmont Heights, also R1, R2, RG. Homes within Larchmont are predominantly single-story, second-story additions in the rear, and rear garage. Same issues as before. Homes within the bounded area have an average of 0.27, with newer homes at 0.6 FAR and existing homes at 0.15. The R1, R2, RG is consistent with the existing character of the area. Average lot size, 6,700. La Brea Hancock, homes within the bounded area, average FAR is 0.25, with newer homes at 0.6 and existing homes at 0.15. The R1, R2, RG is consistent with the existing character. And we've reached the end of my list. So I am available for questions and discussion.
Thank you. We're going to hold off on questions for you just yet. At this time, I am going to open it up for public comment. And I'm going to start with Council Office 10, Herb Wesson's office. I have Elizabeth. Are you here? Did we lose her? Oh, hello. Surprise. So we'll have you go first, and then we'll have other speaker cards addressed. Take as much time as you need.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much. My name is Liz Carlin. I'm here on behalf of Council President Wesson and Council District 10. I want to thank the Planning Department, in particular the Neighborhood Preservation Team, that has had so many meetings in our communities, has answered so many questions, has been so patient with our stakeholders. I really appreciate the hard work that the department did on this, so I really want to say a big thank you for this work. In particular, I am here today to support the zone change for Faircrest Heights, Pickfair, and Wilshire Vista in Council District 10. And as I'm sure will be stated, I have concerns about the Crestview neighborhood. Our district does have concerns because as we drill down on them, I'd like this item on Crestview to actually be continued to the November 10th date. The reason being is, as I looked at the amount of contacts that we had from the neighborhood, we were within two different contacts from our community. And we're not sure if they're stakeholders of CD5 or CD10, but we'd like the opportunity to really drill down and understand our stakeholders supportive of the zone change that's in Crestview. And my colleague in Council District 5 will also testify as well. I want to thank our stakeholders in Council District 10 who took the day off to be with us in all of our neighborhoods, Crestview, Wilshire Vista, Pickfair Village, and Faircrest Heights, and I want to thank the commission and the staff for the work. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So, at this time, I'm going to attempt to do this by neighborhood. Attempt. So if I've offended you, I'm sorry. Here we go. I'm going to start with Wilshire Vista. So I have Kim Orlando, Donald Orlando, no relation. Patrick Wood. Are you guys here? Come on up. Delia Hodson and Yvette Morris. Each will have a minute, and there's more, but I'm going to stop there so you don't have to stand for too long. Just tell us your name, and we'll give you a minute to share your thoughts with us on Wilshire Vista. Overall, of course. Go ahead.
My name's Kim Orlando. I've lived in Wilshire Vista for 25 years. I've watched it grow to a vibrant community, very accessible, very neighborly, and full of character. I personally and my neighbors do not want to see that compromised. We have a lot of open spaces at the fronts of houses, a lot of care of ownership and walkability. Basically, this is the kind of community that community planners aspire to, and we don't want to see that changed. Light trees, open spaces, that's basically all I have to say.
Thank you.
I support this. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Come on up.
Hello. My name is Donald Orlando. I own and have lived in the Wilshire Vista area for 35 years on Whitworth Drive. And I'm hoping that I would love the adoption of the R1, R2, RG for Wilshire Vista. It's a great neighborhood. We're hoping to keep the character the way it is. And again, hopefully you'll approve this zoning. Thank you,
Mr. Orlando. Lorraine Ike and Judith Colmer, please join the line. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Patrick Wood, lived in Wilshire Vista for 15 years. I hope you approve the zoning correction, which basically, I just don't want Wilshire Vista to be the same as what happened to Crescent Heights Boulevard. It's very ugly. It's mansions next to cute houses. We'd like to keep our neighborhood historical. Thank you.
Right to the point. Calling out Crescent Heights. Justin Ironman, please also join the line. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Delia Hodson. I'm from a little country called England, and I'm very aware of the importance of maintaining historical value. I bought a house in Wilshire Vista in 2001. It's a Spanish bungalow. It's got beautiful barreled ceilings, hand-carved back shelter fireplaces. Every house in our neighborhood is a different type of architecture from a historical period, and it's a talking point when guests come to our neighborhood. It's a beautiful neighborhood, and I want to keep it maintained the same with the same architecture. Thank you.
Thank you. Brenda Foster, please join the line. Come on up. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon. My name's Yvette Maris. I've lived on the 1300 block of Wilshire for over 21 years, and I'm here in support of the new ordinance, the new zoning for R1, R2, RG. I believe that the proposed zone would allow for new construction within generous parameters and while still maintaining the character and style of the neighborhood and not compromising that in the process. So I think this is a win-win zone new ordinance that I would like to see adopted. Thank you very much.
Ruth Skinner, please join the line. Hi.
Hi. Good afternoon. My name is Lorraine Ike, and I live in the 1200 block of Stanley Avenue. I support the adoption of R1, R2, RG for Wilshire Vista. This new zone will protect our neighborhood character while allowing for reasonable renovation, expansion, and construction.
Thank you. And Martin Bruin Sima. Go ahead.
I'm Judith Comer, and I've been a resident of Wilshire Vista for the last 32 years. I would not like to see the neighborhood change because of the character and the individuality of the homes there. I support the adoption of R1, R2, RG, and I feel that this new zone will protect our neighborhood's character while allowing for reasonable renovations, expansions, and new constructions. And I ask that you approve this recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Come on up. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Brenda Foster, and I, too, am asking that you support this proposal, this new adoption for the R1, R2, RG for Wilshire Vista. I've been in my house since 1964. I have a single daughter. I have a granddaughter that lives with me, and I think that after the time that I'm gone, this house will be passed on to them, because I did hear in some other meetings that they were talking about the elderly people and then the people who may take on the new, who may move in as new residents in that area kind of want this new kind of McMansions. And I'm here to say that's not necessarily so, because my daughter, who is 35, has lived there. She was born and lived there, that house, all the time that she's been alive. My granddaughter has lived there as well. And they will take over that property when I'm gone. So it's not just the new people that are coming in. It's the people and the families that will, like, you will give your, pass it down to the children and the family. The house will be there, the integrity, the architecture, everything.
I love it. I think I'm going to get a bill when my parents pass. Come on up.
Hi, my name is Ruth Scribner, and I live at 1222 South Spalding Avenue. I'm here to support the adopting of the R1, R2, RG zone for Wilshire Vista. I feel this new zone allows for reasonable growth without compromising the scale and character of our beautiful neighborhood. Others have sung its praises, and it's absolutely true. In particular, the lots in Wilshire Vista tend to be narrow. The neighborhood was originally laid out with detached garages, providing adequate spacing between houses. R12 RG recognizes this aspect of our community and ensures its continuation. Please approve this recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Come up, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner, and everyone else for all your hard work and giving us consideration. My name is Martin Brunsma from 1217 South Spalding. I bought the house as a single guy. It was nice and big for me, and then I was married and have a boy and a girl, and we actually remodeled our house, and one of our biggest considerations was maintaining the character of the house, its original character, because of our love of the community. And I think that it sends a message too, that if you have a house that's within the community, it sends a message that you're a member of the community. And that's one of the wonderful things about our neighborhood, is that everybody knows everybody. We're all community members, and we're not individuals looking out for our best interests, but we care about each other and the integrity and friendliness that we've maintained. So I'm all for the thank you.
Thank you. The next group, the next neighborhood, is going to be the La Brea Hancock homeowners. So please come up, line up behind the podium, and each will have a minute to share their thoughts. I have Robert Isel, Brad Jewett, Diana Isel, Fred Pohl, and William Funderbark, and Philip Messina. Hi.
Hi, Bob Isley. Bill Funderburk had to leave, Fred Pohl had to leave, and Phil Messina had to leave. But they all are, as myself, in support of the R1, R2, RG zone for La Brea Hancock. I believe that I also want to thank our council members, Koretz and Ryu, and their staff for what they've done. And I thank City Planning, Neighborhood Conservation earlier. There's no lot under 6,700 square feet in our neighborhood, so I don't think the RG thing will be a problem for us at all. And we have a massive support in our neighborhood positively for this. I'd also like to say that the empty lots that are in our neighborhood, we'd like them included. I know that'll have to be done later, but we would like them included in this. And just to dispel the myth of mansions solving LA's housing problem, nothing could be further from the truth. No homeowners build those, only developers. And an ICO limited house recently is 3,300 square feet in our neighborhood. 4 bedrooms and 5.5 baths. That's a big house you can still build. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Come on up.
Hi, Brad Jewett again for La Brea Hancock. I'm the vice president of the Homeowners Association. Thank you again to the planning department. They've done an amazing job with this. Our Homeowners Association board of directors met and voted and agreed unanimously to support the R1, R2, RG designation, and we submitted a letter which hopefully has made its way to City Council and planning. I reiterate what Bob Isley said. We think this is a great plan. It allows for development and expansion within reason and should help to maintain the character of the neighborhood, which is why we moved there. We don't want to look at these cement, you know, catastrophes. So, thank you.
Thank you. Welcome back.
Hi, Diana Isley. I remember the day in the fall of 2014. It was an afternoon where I walked across the street to talk to my neighbor to say, what is happening here? This McMansion thing, I believe La Brea Hancock started this citywide movement. I think that it awakened a sleeping giant, and the constituents of these neighborhoods we'll never sit back again for something like this. So thank you so much. I support these new amendments. One thing that really is not said about McMansions is that they outprice young families. And what we want is young families in our neighborhoods, because they in turn will become invested in their neighborhoods and go to their neighborhood schools. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a trip around the
Mr.
city.
Chair,
yes?
Respectfully, I filled out a form.
Sorry.
I filled out a form at 10 a.m. and my name was not called for
What's
Wilshire
your name?
Vista. My name is Lance Williams.
You're Wilshire Vista?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, we did that already. Did you miss that?
I was not called, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, now that you have the mic, why don't you take a minute and tell us about
Thank
Wilshire
you.
Vista?
I'll be very brief. My name is Lance Williams, and I've been a resident of Wilshire Vista for 32 years, most recently on Stanley Avenue, and I'm also the past executive director of the U.S. Green Building Council, L.A. chapter, so I'm very sensitive to these issues. I strongly support the adoption of this ordinance. I think it's the will of the neighborhood residents to support this ordinance. Wilshire Vista, in its current form, is a historically significant neighborhood and a unique city asset. The ordinance will provide the ability for needed improvements without sacrificing the neighborhood integrity. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. All right. We did that. This is an unknown neighborhood to me. It's not listed. So you'll tell us which one it is. Fred Pohl, Elizabeth Carlin or Karen, Steve Cochran, and Carol Eisner. We're going to stop there so I don't mess that up. Come on up. Whoever heard their name, come on up. Tell us what neighborhood we're discussing.
Mr. Chairman, it's for Crestview.
Great.
How are you today? I respectfully ask for, because I'm representing 110 petitioners that was sent to the planning department.
I appreciate that, but unless you're a neighborhood council, you have a minute, sir.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Steve Chokrin, Crestview resident. I am opposed to R1, R2, RG in favor of R1, RNU. I would like to bring your attention to the planning department's recommendation and reports for the public hearings and communications reports, respectively on page P3 and P4. I'm speaking specifically about Crestview, where you see that there were 15 in support on verbal and 13 opposed, and on the written comments, there were 39 in favor of and 37 opposed. This is by no means a unanimous opinion. The demographics of Crestview is such that there are a large number of families whose wish it is to have larger home. That being said, this is not a winner-take-all battle. We are very much in favor of a middle ground, of a middle road solution. Actually, our new calls for 0.55. We would be happy with 0.5. We find that imposing a rear garage is not convenient for the modern family. Also, we are puzzled as to why the 110 signatures presented to the planning department were not made part of the tally. Thank you so very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Come on up.
Hi, thank you.
Ma'am, just tell us your name again.
My name is Carol Eisner,
Great.
A 27-year resident of Crestview, CD10, the 1800 block of Sherbourne Drive, in favor of R1, R2, R-RG. The proposed zoning change for Crestview is a welcome, well-researched, and thoughtful resolution while allowing expansions for modern families. And we wish to maintain the style and scale of our beautiful Steinkamp houses. They are historical homes that dot our neighborhood of Crestview, especially the 1800 blocks of Crestview, CD10. We straddle CD10 and CD5, as you know, and our hardworking stakeholders, hardworking people who work in the entertainment industry could not be here today. But many of them signed our petition, and many, many have sent in letters and emails to your staff. And we hope that you will keep our neighborhood walkable, affordable, and diverse. Thank you for recommending the R1, R2, RG for Crestview. And we stand with our adjacent sisters.
Thank you.
In their neighborhood.
Barbara LaCroix? Nona? Beidelman? Tracy Considine? Dr. Anna Serrano and Lorraine Kirsten, please come on up. Whoever gets there first, just introduce yourself and share us your thoughts on your neighborhood.
Good afternoon. My name is Barbara LaCroix. I am a resident of Faircrest Heights. I am fully supportive of the new zone. I take this opportunity to say thank you. In preserving our community, it is a very diverse community, and we look forward to the new zoning. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Nona Sue Beidelman, and I am a 41-year resident of Faircrest Heights. I would like to take this opportunity to thank you for this proposal. We'd love to have this continue. One of the things that I would like to ask that you do is Faircrest Heights is divided by two planning zones, Wilshire Zone and West Adams Baldwin Hills Lemert. While the borders of this project include all of us, we are concerned that in the future when West Adams Baldwin Hills Lemert is revised, that our portion of Faircrest Heights could suffer by whatever changes are made. So we would ask that you include the term West Adams Baldwin Hills Lemert in this proposal so that that does not occur. In addition, I thank you. We'd like to keep our neighborhood as it is. It is a beautiful community with many people coming there for the reason that it is a beautiful community. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm sure staff will respond to that at the right time. Hi, good afternoon, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Tracy Considine, also from Faircrest Heights. Thank you so very much to planning for all the times you've been to our neighborhood and listened to our neighbors. We're so grateful. I'll be short. Please adopt this new zone. It's sensible. It's smart. It works for the modern American family and also for our vibrant, diverse community. We have emails from 47 people who couldn't be here today. I can submit them electronically or if you want them for the file. Just wanted to put that on record. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Anna Serrano, and I've lived on Faircrest Heights for 31 years, and it's a wonderful neighborhood. I already have the house behind me that's a huge block, but I'm hoping that that can be stopped, and I support this ordinance, and I really appreciate all of your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, my name is Lorraine Kirsten. I'm a resident of Faircrest Heights for 29 years. I moved in there because of the quality of life, because it was an affordable neighborhood. But over the years, I learned that it was more than that. It was a place where neighbors get together, where they spend a lot of time in their backyards together, having barbecues, getting to know each other. And I support this proposal, R1, R2, RG, to maintain that quality of life. Please keep in mind that when one person makes a building that's too big for the neighborhood, it affects 2 to 3 other homes. So the proportion of people who might be appeased by being able to build too big is outnumbered by the people who get the ill effects of it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we have John Donovan and Debbie Gauguin. John, hello.
Hello. My name is John Donovan, and I've been a Pickfair Village resident for 6.5 years, and this was important enough for me to take off work today, and I appreciate you letting us speak. My wife and I were drawn to this neighborhood for its beautiful 1920s architectural details and its close-knit community feel. As you know, one of the objectives of the general plan framework is to ensure that character and scale of residential neighborhoods is maintained. Recently, I've seen our neighborhood, along with others, have its character and scale come under attack by developers' boxy McMansions. And it pains me and my neighbors because it forever alters a neighborhood we love. I'm grateful to the Neighborhood Conservation for the outreach and all the help you've been for our neighborhoods. And that's why I heartily support city planning recommendations that include R1, R2, RG. I hope that you support it as well and help protect the beauty of Pickfair Village. And I have an additional 18 emails from people who support this who could not take off work today I'd like to submit. And on a side note, our R2 neighbors in our neighborhood hope for some sort of protection in the future as well.
Thank you, John. Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Debbie Gaughan. I live in Pickfair Village, and my lot is actually 4,800 and some change to Ms. Dake Wilson's concern. The dream for Pickfair Village is to preserve the character. So in a perfect world, that would mean scale, and if you're going to add a second story, put the bulk in the back of the house. And we have detached garages in the rear, which is all part of the character. So in a zone change that would preserve our uniqueness, that would be kind of perfect. That's exactly what we've been telling Neighborhood Conservation, and that's exactly what they gave us in the recommendation report. And you'll read that Pickfair Village was overwhelmingly in support of their proposed zone change. In a city this big, it's pretty fantastic that when a neighborhood comes together and says, hey, this is what we want, the city listens. And so please approve this recommendation that includes the R1 RG or R2 RG. And on a side note, also for our neighbors in R2, they're looking for some similar preservation. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Larchmont Heights. We have fantastic cursive, Robert O'Donnell, could be Roberta, can't see, and Tracy Clark and Karen Gilman. Whoever's up, please come on up if you're here. Are there any of those three here? Hi. I know it's been a long day. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm pinch hitting for the people that you just called out who
I appreciate that. Tell us your name. You'll have a minute to pinch hit.
Okay, I'm Roberta O'Donnell.
Great.
And I was asked to please say that Larchmont Village is a little bit concerned about the 30-foot setback, as was mentioned in the Oaks. They think that possibly a 15-foot setback would preserve the character and be appropriate for their neighborhood. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. You hit it out of the park. So I have, at this time, elected office speaker cards. Aside from those folks, is there anyone here who did not get the chance to speak, who wanted to speak in the public? No? Okay. I have, no? I see Julia Duncan. Why don't you come on up, and then Sean, I'll have you speak after that, if that's all right. Julia, take as much time as you need to tell us what the Councilman David Rude thinks.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Thank you, Julia Duncan, Councilman David Rue's office. We just want to extend our gratitude and thanks to the Planning Department. The outreach on these zones has been incredible. I've attended several of the community meetings, and everyone has been incredibly receptive to the public comments and input that have been received. The three communities in our area, South Hollywood, La Brea, Hancock, and Larchmont Heights, we are supportive of the R1, R2, RG zoning for those communities, and want to also extend our gratitude to the people who took off of work today, the homeowners associations, the neighborhood councils, and the individuals who came out, and just the support for this is exemplary in what we'd like to see going forward when in any issues related to planning in our district. So
us
thank
too.
You.
All right, Sean Bayless, come on up from CDE5. Sean, take as much time as you need to share your thoughts. There was an interesting border question. I don't know if you heard that border question.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if you had a thought on that. But.
Well, so first I'll try to make this brief. Sean Bayless from Councilmember Paul Corrett's office. You know, we don't have a lot of skin in the game today. We will come November 10th, where the majority of our district will be considered and discussed. But we do share a small neighborhood of Crestview between CD10 and our council district. And so we have heard there's been a bit of a division in that small community over what they would like. Some would like a lower FAR. Others would like flexibility in the garage. Others would like a the R zone for the rear amount of the massing versus a variable. And so we've heard quite a bit of both support and some opposition as well. And we're hoping to take a little bit more time, work with the community, and see if there's something that we can boil down, if we can keep that neighborhood together from a zoning standpoint, or if we do need to kind of break it apart from a council district standpoint. Today we've heard about RV1 new. We continue to hear about the R2 versus the RG or no RG. So again, we echo Council District 10 and the request that maybe we, this one neighborhood, Crestview, we kick maybe to the November 10th if we can, to allow us to do our job and work with the community to help flesh out what's workable. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean. I have no other speaker cards. So at this time, I'm going to turn to staff. I think. You know, I'd call it 96% yes, and then a few clarifying questions that people ask. So what strikes you that you want to respond to from public testimony as well as council?
Sure. So let's respond to a few of those issues. Craig Weber, city planning staff. First, with respect to the Crestview neighborhood, I think just procedurally what we're hoping will happen with the entirety of the neighborhoods is that they are continued to the November 10th. Meeting, though there's certainly an opportunity for the commission to convey its general support or possible lack thereof for the individual zoning recommendations. So certainly there's an opportunity with Crestview for the department to either better explain its rationale for the current recommendation or to even offer a more nuanced recommendation or an altogether different recommendation with regard to the zoning. So clearly there's been a lot of consensus in the majority of the neighborhoods, Crestview being the outlier. So with the November 10 meeting, we have an opportunity to clarify what is...
Sure. My intent is to move in its entirety this package to November 10th for final action. Okay. We'll see if the commission is there. What else?
I think we heard a couple of issues about outlying lots and the general scope of where we've gone, and it certainly is true as we were doing outreach, there were a lot of questions of why aren't we also addressing the lots over there. Generally, our mandate was to address properties that were within the adopted interim control ordinance areas. So there are future opportunities with outlying areas. Usually these are parcels that are zoned multifamily or in some cases even commercial, but that look and feel like single family. Mm-hmm. So there's an opportunity for future work, but it simply is not a part of the work program today. There was one comment about the Wilshire versus the West Adams community plan. Those are administrative boundaries. And though the West Adams community plan was just recently adopted, Wilshire will be a while. The substance of those community plans is not necessarily impacting or impacted by the decision today. Mm-hmm. So if the commission and ultimately the council want to rezone the neighborhood to a certain type of single family zone, mm-hmm. Chances are that's implementing the goals of both community plans. So I think that we're pretty safe in that respect.
Okay. I'm satisfied with that. Let's see If I might, just go around the horseshoe here. Samantha Millman.
This is Samantha Millman. I would be in favor of continuing this item, and particularly Crestview. Just the testimony we heard showed that there seems to be a lot of disagreement, and for a change to the zoning that would impact residents of that area so acutely, I think it makes sense to continue.
Agreed. Mr. Perlman?
Yeah, I agree. We should continue it. I would only ask the chair and council whether we will have conducted public hearing then on those we've done, so that when we continue it, we only have the remaining neighborhoods.
We'll have a limited public hearing, or what's going to happen if we were to continue it, Amy?
Amy Brothers, I actually didn't hear you, Commissioner Perlman.
I'd say, in other words, we've just had a public hearing, so if we continue it, do we need to reopen the public hearing on these ones we've already heard testimony on?
No, you're not obligated to reopen it.
If I may, this is Kevin Keller, Deputy Director. This is one item with a number of sub-districts, so we are looking for direction on those neighborhoods that are here today. We will be bringing additional neighborhoods at the November 10th meeting, and we'll have an additional hearing there, but those are for those neighborhoods. Thank you.
Yeah. Dana, my inclination is that the next hearing, we'll probably hear about the one controversial one and see what changes council offices have been able to work out, and then maybe also hear some thoughtful responses to Renee's 50 by 100 conundrum. And then we could have a kind of a separate of all the new. So I'm in agreement on the continuance. Renee Dake Wilson.
Hi, this is Renee Dake Wilson. I have a couple questions. When will the R2 zones come through? A lot of people asked about that.
So, Craig Weber, city planning staff. So one of the neighborhoods where we're looking at R2 zones happens to be within the Hollywood community plan area that we are in the process of updating. So the department has already discussed options that would be brought forward as part of that plan update process. So that addresses the South Hollywood neighborhood in particular. Were there other RQ neighborhoods?
Can I propose by maybe November 10th you have a list if there are ones in the pipeline on R2?
I think it's great that again, to get to Richard Katz's question from the earlier discussion we had about recode and enacting this, whether we're doing a zone change or a community plan update about implementation, I think it's great that the South Hollywood community plan will come through and sweep up our two changes similar to the CPIO or the R1 modifications that we're making here. I just want to make sure that, you know, a lot of people asked about the R2 neighborhoods that really are character defining, not R1s, but character defining also for their neighborhoods. So I just want to make sure those get addressed at some point. Also, when these are going to get remapped when you redo the community plans in these areas, or are they going to be remapped effective our enactment? Is this a zone change for these areas?
Yes, this is considered a zone change for these communities. And then in the future, when we do community plan updates, we hope to no longer use the R1 and use one of the options that we have that Phyllis presented, one of the 16 options.
That's fantastic. I mean, we're going to start having a lot of, no longer a book, but a lot of files for figuring out what dual code we're using in which neighborhood, but it is a huge improvement. I'm glad we're starting to transition. And you've got an ability to remap these areas that everybody seems so supportive of. There was a question about getting relief from the rear garage requirement. I know that, I just keep on going to an example. I have one project on a street perpendicular from another where the character is completely different on those two perpendicular streets because of the topography. If something is mismapped or if someone wants to get relief for their rear garage requirement, what is the procedure for that? Is that allowed for?
That is allowed for. We actually have language in the supplemental use district portion that Phyllis presented that gives limitations. I believe there are limitations to how narrow your lot is that kind of makes it hard to have a rear garage. But we will look into that and give you a more direct answer next time.
Yeah, and it's things like, I mean, whether it's rear garage or whether you feel like you should be front instead of rear massing or something like that, if you want to have a variation and have a good excuse, How can that be modified versus McMansioning it? Is just the concern.
Just to touch on this topic and sort of the theme that has been in both discussion for both items, we really have taken deliberate care to also ensure that the right zone is landing on the right lot. So there certainly was a lot of discussion about how can we caveat and qualify some of these things on weirder lots where it ought not apply, for instance, the rear garage or the rear mass requirement. So that's where you see some of the variation lot to lot. So we're trying to land the right zone on the right lot so that there's less necessity, but nevertheless, there will still be a need to be able to exempt out. And so we can report deeper on that at November 10th.
Yeah, and it's going to be a thing where someone's going to come in and try to McMansion something, and you're going to have the teeth to be able to say no to the McMansion. You know, that's a whatever term, whatever language you want to choose there, but someone's going to try to McMansion a house versus someone is going to have a legitimate concern. So ferreting that out and understanding that difference is important. And the next thing, this might not be very popular in this room, but it is something I believe strongly, is that none of these neighborhoods that everybody supported so much are being designated as an HPOZ. They are being given character. And that character is defined by their massing and their height and their volume and their setbacks. But to me, I look at these properties as, you know, often the neighborhoods are 100 years old at this time. And I've lived in a 100-year-old house and had significant number of problems and also a growing family. So you're going to have, you know, I went from 2 people to 5 now. So you're going to have changes in these neighborhoods over the next 100 years. And this regulation does not preclude someone tearing down these old houses and building it within the envelope. So I think that's very important to know that you're still going to keep the essential massing of the area, but you're not providing an historic protection, which I think is important for our aging housing stock because it is expensive and oftentimes not desirable to preserve a falling down old house. You know, some houses have protection for good reason, and we have HPOZs in and for those reasons. But this is, I think it's important to allow for the massing to be consistent with the historic quality, but to be able to build new if you really want to maximize the space for your own use when your family might live there for 30 years, even though your neighbors have already been there 30 years. I think that's important. So thank you for allowing for that. That's all.
We'll let that one slide. Mr. Katz, Mr. Mack?
I support a continuation.
Excellent. I'm moving that we continue this item to November 10th.
I'll second that. This is Renee Dake Wilson.
In its entirety. I think that's sufficient. James, we have a first and second. Will you please call for the vote?
Certainly. Commissioner Ambrose?
Yes.
Commissioner Dake Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Katz?
Yep.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Millman?
Yes.
Commissioner Perlman?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. I think we strongly support this concept and look forward to getting this across the finish line at a subsequent meeting on November 10th. Thank you. Next, we're going to hear